Oh, that's good. It's all good news. And so with that, I want to move right on to the message portion of the meeting here. I was moved by an offertory that Dave gave a couple of months ago now. He was talking about the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and that stuck with me for whatever reason. I think it was relative to some of the things we were doing with the finances of the church, and I'm good. And I started reading on that, and then of course when you go through your own things in your life and you start to really mature in some senses, and you start to understand what's really important, what you really need to think about, what you really need to do. I was reminded of how good the news is in Jesus. And so today, in light of the good news we've had in the financial portion, I wanted us to turn to John 6, if you will. And I want to read this passage here. And I just want us to just take a quick read, and I want us to take a quick walk through the scripture and just remind us of something very simple. Okay, nothing difficult, nothing extra theological in this sense, in that sense today, although it's all theology. But I want this to help us. I want this to help you in your walk. And sometimes it just needs to bear repeating. Sometimes we just need the reminder of who God is and who we are in Him. And who is God and who are we in Him? And the scripture is replete of that message. So when we read the gospel, when we read the scriptures, we encounter Jesus, and Jesus is talking about Himself, and Jesus is talking about His Father, and Jesus is saying who He is, and He's telling us who we are. So if you turn to John 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 14. And here we see Jesus was pretty busy at this time. Verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the sea. So after these things, after what things? What things? Well, if you just go back and look, you can see Jesus was very busy. You go back to John 2, we saw Jesus performing His first miracle, changing water to wine. And so I call this Jesus sort of announcing who He is and who the Father is. Later on, you see Jesus encountering the money changers in the temple. He says, get out. Now, when He said get out, He was filled with passion. His mouth was wide open, right? So when Jesus came in, he was knocking tables over. He got a whip. He was driving cattle out. And people were saying, well, what authority do you have to come in and do this in our temple? And so, like I said, Jesus, these things that He were doing was really establishing who He was and talking about His authority. He later talked to the Samaritan woman at the well when he asked her for some water. And I thought this was interesting because when He first started talking to this woman, now you understand the culture of that time, women were, and if you do even some studies about how some Middle Eastern cultures look at women as property and as things, they still are in that, relegated to that realm today. But the disciples weren't there when Jesus started talking to this woman, started dignifying her humanity by having a conversation with her. And I'm sure she was even surprised too, and that's what she asked. You know, that's when she said, we know the Messiah is coming. And He says, I am that Messiah. And then His disciples come and they stop when they see Him afar talking to this woman. And I'm sure Peter said, ooh, you see what Jesus is doing? You know, Jesus was turning things inside out. He already turned the tables over. He already had that conversation with Nicodemus where He told him, you have to be born again. He was flipping things inside out. So when Jesus encounters you, church, I'm here to tell you, your life is going to be flipped inside out. What you thought was wrong is right, and what you thought was right is wrong. Because He says, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Not you. Right? So everything you thought was right is not right anymore when it comes to Jesus. So He talked to the Samaritan woman. He healed an official's son. Just by speaking it, right, as the official's going back to see his son, his servants come running out. His servants are saying, your son is alive. He said, when did the fever leave him? And he said, about this time. And he knew it was at that time that Jesus Christ spoke and his son was healed. This is what Jesus was doing. He healed an invalid at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath. Get up and walk. And so he was healing people. He was announcing who he is. And he was announcing who the Father was. Because what he said was, I don't do anything unless my Father is established with my Father. You know, I do everything that the Father wants me to do. And so we get to this point now. Now, you have to keep in mind, this was word of mouth at that time. So people were talking about what this Jesus is doing. What's he doing? Well, he's healing people. He's telling the Pharisees about themselves. He's not afraid to stand up to them. Everybody else is, right? He's healing people just by saying the word walk, and they're walking. And so you can imagine if you've lived your life used and abused and downtrodden, and if you were one of those invalids who have been laying at that pool for 38 years like this man was, and he couldn't get to the pool so that he can be healed, and all of a sudden this Jesus says, stand up and walk. You can imagine the word of mouth. This Samaritan woman who goes and testifies of this conversation that she had. It was a conversation that she had, but it was more than a conversation, really. This encounter she had with Jesus was so filling, she was so overflowed that many in her city became believers. Could you imagine the power of that encounter? Jesus showing up and announcing who he is and who his Father is. And it says, after all these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Because now, all of a sudden, they didn't have Twitter. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Vine. Could you imagine if they did at that time? It wouldn't be 5,000 men. It'd be 500,000 men. And with women and children, you're probably talking about 1 million. But in this case here, we're talking about 5,000 men, total of 15 or 20,000 people, just by word of mouth, because these encounters people were having as Jesus was announcing to the world, to his society, to his community, who he was. And he had something that was life-changing, something that was different, something that people wanted to hear. You know, this man who laid at that pool for 38 years was told to get up and walk. What kind of testimony do you think he had? What kind of great dance do you think he participated in? Do you think Pastor T would have to say, hey, do you want to dance today? I bet you he'd be up in front with a tambourine dancing. You know, you can't tell him not to dance, right? And so after these things, Jesus had all these people who were following him, and he went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Verse 2, a large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Verse 3, then Jesus went on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that large crowd and was coming to him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these may eat? So Jesus turns to his money man, maybe. Philip is talking about money. In Matthew, you hear Philip talking about, Lord, it's going to take a half year's wages for everybody to get a bite of fish, to get a little piece of bread. So, you know, are you kidding? What you talking about, Jesus? Feed these people, right? Where are we to buy bread so that they may eat? This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? Verse 10, Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers of about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves and having given thanks, he distributed those to those who were seated, likewise also to the fish as much as they wanted. Verse 12, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Verse 14, therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, this is truly amazing. the prophet who was to come into the world. Truly, this is the prophet that is to come to the world. Now, I just wanted to share that with you because as the treasurer of this church and as a husband and as a father and as a man attempting to walk in this life as a Christian, we have big trials. We have tribulations that are akin to trying to feed 5,000. You know, it's hard trying to feed seven people. It's hard trying to feed seven people. I'm just going to take my word for it, especially when they're growing kids and they want to eat all the time. Could you imagine trying to feed 5,000 people? And I want to talk about our perspective, given the challenges that we face in this life. We all have our feeding of the 5,000 challenges. You don't need me to tell you what that is, but we all have them here. We all have suffered through broken relationships. We all have suffered through marital issues and raising our child. And we've all had issues with finding jobs. We all have, some of us have had addiction issues. All of these issues that are akin to feeding 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes. And we face these challenges every single day. But Jesus wants to remind us about something. He wants to share with us his perspective. But when we look at our perspective, when we use our perspective, it's all bad news. I mean, all we are used to is seeing what's in front of us. To the disciples, it was 5,000 men, probably 15 to 20,000 people to feed. Lord, we can't do that. There's not enough money. And Philip said, Lord, it would take a half year salary to give each of these people a piece, to give them a bite. We tend to think there's not enough supplies. What are we going to do with five loaves of bread and two fish? Lord, what am I going to do with my little salary here? Lord, I got rent. I have utilities. And man, my wife just got sick. She had to go to the doctor. Lord, I just got sick. I had to go to the doctor. So that's now more bills. And you sit and you look at those 5,000 and trying to feed that. And the perspective is bad. And the solution for the disciples who were with the Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was to send the people away. In Matthew 14's version, he said, let the people go into the city to find food for themselves. So Jesus says, feed the people. And the response from the disciples were, well, let them go find food for themselves. But what about Jesus' perspective? And what I want to share with you is his perspective on anything that we face is good news. So when he saw those same 5,000 men or those same 20,000 people, he didn't see there were too many people to feed, that there was not enough supply. He saw 20,000 people there that he was time to love them. It was time to bless them. When he saw those people, he would say it was time for us to participate with him. Right? So now he wants to bless, but you know who God? God is not going to be God unless he's going to have us with him. So he told the disciples, go and feed them. He didn't just say, sit back. He said, you go, Melvin. You go, Vanita. Let's go feed them. Right? You go feed them. This is Jesus' perspective. Bring them to me. Have them sit down. With Jesus, there's always enough resources on hand to do and accomplish what the Father is doing and accomplishing in your life. This is his perspective. And the solution for Jesus is always to be who he is in his Father and to pour out his blessings on that circumstance, in that situation. And here's what I loved about this story here. When he did that, everybody in that group got to eat as much as they wanted to eat. And then there were leftovers. So could you imagine, could we do this one day? Could we have a potluck? I thought about this. Could we have a potluck, Monique, and we just bring a turkey and a loaf of bread? Can we try this? Can we put it to the test? Do we have enough faith to do this? We're all laughing, right? It's not what he's telling us to do here, I don't think. But when Jesus looks at our lives and he looks at our problems, we look at our 5,000 people to feed. Here's what he wants us to understand, that it's always good news in him. And that's the perspective that we have to have in this life. Now, it doesn't mean that we deny the reality of the problems and the issues and the frustrations. We don't deny that. But what it does mean is that we embrace the reality of who we are in Jesus, and that he is sovereign over all that is ours. So that's the solution. So the solution is never look to ourselves and what we think and how we see it and how we want to do it. But the solution is to look to Jesus, in whom all goodness flows, and to understand who we are in him. And then when we understand who we are in him, then it's easy for us to recognize his sovereignty over feeding the 5,000. When we understand who Jesus is and who we are in him, then we can understand we can understand his sovereignty in helping us in our relationship and helping us to have a conversation with our wives, whom we haven't been able to talk to for weeks or maybe even months. Or maybe we haven't even slept in the same bed for a while. Jesus is sovereign over that. When we are able to recognize who Jesus is and we know his perspective in our social lives and our relationships here in this church, then we give him sovereignty over everything. So that when we can't get along in this church, we say, Lord, we bow down and give deference to you. We give it to you to work your work in whatever it is that's going on in these relationships that we can't figure out, Lord. Because when we try to figure it out, all we do is fuss and fight. And we know that you're not the author of confusion, Lord. So because we know who you are and we know who we are in you, and we know without you, we can't do anything. But in you, we can do all things through Christ, you, Jesus, who strengthens us. So therefore, I can come to you and pray to you and know that you are going to come in and you are going to give me the faith and you are going to give me the eyes and you're going to give me the voice and you're going to give me the courage to stand up and say and do and walk like I'm supposed to say and supposed to do and supposed to walk. Because in Jesus, it's all good. Right? So when it's time to talk to my son or my daughter, who I haven't been able to talk to for months, and this teenager looks like a foreign creature to me that I don't understand, you know it's all good that you don't really fully have to kind of understand, because we know that Jesus understands. Because we understand that Jesus created that girl and that boy just like he wanted them to. And they are speaking like and they're living like he wants them to. And they are in him. So that's where our faith is. So it's not bad news when they don't want to listen to us. Yes, Richard, it's not bad news. Because he loves them and he loves us. And so we give deference to him in that relationship as well. And he gives us the courage. He gives us the faith to say and do what we need to. Or to shut up. Have you ever thought of the power of not opening your mouth and just being quiet, moms and dads out there, right? And I'm telling you, it takes some power. It takes some otherworldly power to be able to walk away, right? It does. It takes otherworldly Jesus power to be able to walk away. It does. But when we understand that feeding the 5,000in that in our life, that's God's business. That's his territory. Then we give it to him. He allows us to see it. He allows us to look at the water. And then he calls us. Now, we know in and of ourselves, we can't walk on water. But he gives us the faith to believe in him who has walked on water and can help you to walk on water, too. And it can help you to walk on water too. So that's a perspective that I just wanted to share with you today as we looked at our finances, and I just remember my journey, my personal journey with our finances here in New Life Fellowship. But as you remember us walking together in that journey as well, but also as you walk in your personal journey in your own life, as you walk with your husband, or as you don't walk with your husband and your wife, and as you don't walk with your wife, not the way you really want to, not the way you know Christ really wants to, then you got to ask yourself, what perspective are you embracing? Are you embracing your own perspective or the worldly perspective where you say, well, it's all about me and what I see, and do I love myself, and yada, 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 yada. There's a lot of yada out there. There's a lot of chatter. Or is it all about Jesus, in whom everything is good news? So even when you have that 5 o'clock in the morning wake up nudged by your wife who says, I got to go to the doctor, you really can be comforted by the fact that you know that she really is in his hands. And you know, as soon as she says that, that she is healed. Right? I mean, that's how you know who God is. I mean, you know this because you know who he is. That's why every single week, Pastor Tim or myself or somebody, some gospel preacher who, if they're preaching the true gospel, has to preach who God is to you, because we forget. We really do forget. And that's why we have to say it over and over and over again. And that's why God lets us get close to the water. That's why he lets us look at our checkbooks that have a negative sign sometimes. That's why he has us open a refrigerator and there's cold water in there and an empty egg carton. Or you go into the house and the house is a mess. It's never cleaned up. You step on somebody's toy for the umpteenth time and just can't get it cleaned, right? Or you see your wife again and you've had 5,000 conversations about, paying for college or paying for a car or not to pay for a phone. All these things that come up in life that you strain with. Jesus wants you to say, have my perspective. Who am I? And then who are you in me? And when we can do that, then we can really understand, as truly start to begin to understand anyway, his sovereignty in our lives. And so we give him sovereignty over everything. He sustains everything. He sustains your ability to work, so that you can come in, and as we get ready to pass out the offering envelopes, and as we get ready to come to communion, you're able to give an offering. And then he even works with you on that. How do you give an offering? Has the Lord been sovereign in your financial life? Are you still clutching on or still holding on tightly? Is the Lord sovereign in your work life? Are you still trying to do what you want to do? Or are you letting the Lord lead you? Is the Lord sovereign in your life? And he's telling you to come to church, and he's telling you to serve and to participate with me, and you sit there week after week and you don't. I don't know. I'm just, Holy Spirit saying ask the question, so I'm asking the question. So please don't get mad at me. You can. I'm not going to get mad back because I know where it's coming from. But that's what I really wanted to share with you. You know, we're walking this life together. We all have the same challenges, and we're all doing this together. So I would be remiss, Pastor Tiva would be remiss, if we didn't remind you of God's goodness. It really is all about his goodness. It really is all about God, who was Father, Son, and Spirit. And they love and like you very much, and they came to include you in that life. That's good news. People haven't heard that, right? So let him be sovereign in your life, so that that little boy with the big mouth that says good news can be you. It can be you. So now we're going to come to Melvin. Is Melvin the third here? He's going to go get him. We're going to take up the offering as we take communion this time.